The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. Today, I'm joined by the founders of Big Spoon, Sanjeev Okakar, CEO, and Jem Yildirim, COO. Here are a few tech headlines of the week. Cryptos tumble after South Korea's Bithum exchange hacked. So just like last week, another South Korean crypto exchange got hacked. Last week was CoinRail, and this week is Bithum. And what was stolen was around 35 billion won, which in U.S. dollars is 30 million. And this goes back to, although Bitcoin and Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies have yet to be hacked itself, exchanges and wallets are very susceptible. So when you decide to invest your crypto assets, be very careful about, one, which exchange you're putting it into, and two, what type of wallet you have. And really, if you don't need to trade your crypto, you might as well put it into what's called a cold storage or cold wallet, which is usually a physical device. Like, think about a flash drive, or think about in terms of even a printed paper of your private keys. We talked a lot last week about the EOS mainnet launch. EOS is considered to be a entirely decentralized third-generation blockchain. Third generation, I'd mentioned, means that it has governance built into EOS, which is a constitution and a governance system and arbitration. The arbitration is actually handled by 21 independent block producers that fluctuate. They're constantly voted in by the token holders. And in this case, one of the very first controversies is that while the constitution itself is yet to be ratified, the 21 block producers just took action to freeze 7 suspected fraudulent accounts, meaning these accounts were created just to steal other people's crypto. And so they froze those accounts, and people are complaining that this is not what a decentralized governance system means. This is outside the reach of block producers, and therefore they should have never done that. This EOS just started literally a week ago. So we don't know how this is really going to turn out yet, and I will keep updating you on EOS. But even with those two stories regarding crypto theft and EOS block producers working together to freeze accounts, the funny thing is that the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, just said that he thought that crypto should not be taken too lightly, and that just because people are unfamiliar or people think it's fraudulent or false, that he personally believes that crypto is here to stay, and that goes against what people like Jamie Dimon or Warren Buffett had said earlier. So again, we talk a lot about blockchain and cryptocurrencies, and my belief is that it's not going anywhere anytime soon. And that's the news. So Sanjeev and Jem, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Keith.
Welcome. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to be here.
And also congratulations. I know that you were just recently at a restaurant show, Big Spoon in Chicago was presenting. How'd you guys do?
I think we did pretty good. It's a big show, probably not only in U.S., but in the world, the biggest restaurant show annually. And 60,000 people attended, and we didn't expect all those people showing up to our booth. We were in the startup alley, but we talked to several hundred people. It was exciting to confirm our vision and fun to meet with people, eat food. There was so much food, variety. We loved it. It was a fun show.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that, we were one of the only 13 startups that were selected to showcase in the Startup Alley of the National Restaurant Association show. Obviously, hundreds of companies apply, and we were very fortunate and honored to be there. We were also showcased in the special breakfast to the press on the first day of the conference. And they picked 20 companies from the entire show, which is about 3,000 exhibitors. We were one of the 20. So it was really an honor to be there, and we got a lot of good publicity.
Well, that's great, and congratulations again. So why don't we go into what Big Spoon is, but first let's talk about your background. So Sanjeev, I mean, you're well-known in the Valley. You've had a lot of executive roles at Cisco and Juniper and have done some startup work. And Jem, you've had also work at Cisco, and you've had two successful exits from startups. Why don't we go into briefly what Big Spoon's all about?
So at Big Spoon, we, you know, our main mission is to help reduce the global food waste problem. And what we have done is we have created this entirely new sales channel for the restaurant owners to reach out to the customers instantly, only when they need it, in order to be able to sell any of their surplus or unsold food. And that's the way we're trying to attack the problem of global problem of food waste.
And what is unique about the way you're doing it?
So the unique thing about what we do compared to, you know, most of the other online food ordering apps like DoorDash is in their case, it's a one-way channel where me as a restaurant owner, I publish my menu and then I'm waiting. There is no way, I have no control over reaching out to customers proactively when I need them. So every restaurant owner sooner or later at some point finds themselves into the situation where they have surplus food or unsold food on hand. And it's at that time that they would like to reach out to the customers. When you look at the other side, there is always value-seeking customers anywhere in the world. You know, there's always people looking for good food. Students, for example, university students, they are always on budget. They're looking for good, fresh food that they can buy at the cheaper prices. And they have no way of knowing at this point in time which restaurant should I go where I can get discounted food offers. So it's that gap that exists in the market today that nobody has addressed. You know, DoorDash, Grubhub, whoever is there on the market and is on the landscape of online food ordering business, they have not addressed this gap. And that's where we entered, and we helped solve that gap.
Yeah, another way of saying the same thing is all the other apps and the services, they put the restaurants in a passive mode. They publish their menu once, and they keep waiting.
Right.
There's no way proactively reach out. We allow them. That's our biggest differentiator. And they can do it whenever they want it. And as he said, Sanjeev said, this is very unpredictable. Restaurant owners, towards the end of the day, they were not sure if they're going to have a surplus or unsold food. So now they have an ability to reach out whenever they need it. The other services, they don't have this capability.
See, the traditional methods of providing discounts to the customers through printed coupons or even online coupons like Groupon, what happens there is you decide it ahead of time. You publish these coupons, and customer has the coupon, and you have no control over when the customer is going to come and use that coupon. That may be at the time when I'm doing really well and I don't want to give any discount. What we do is we enable the restaurants to publish those coupons for limited time, for limited quantities, when and only when they need it.
Right. Yeah. That's fine. And so I think with what we're hearing, it's an innovative concept built on existing principles and ways that haven't been done before. I think it's super interesting beyond what we've talked about for a restaurant owner to go ahead and make an offer on the spot, because it might not be just about surplus food. It could be just a special that they think about presenting. I think about, at least in the way that we do social media and social networking, the ability to get community engagement, that goes beyond just the surplus food.
You're absolutely right, Keith. You know, this can not only be used for the purpose that we already described, but also for generating more traffic when they have slow times,
right,
when they have a new dish that the chef has created and he wants to publicize that. It's basically an advertising channel, free advertising channel that restaurant owners have available to use whenever they want to use it.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, I'll pause you right there because we have a lot more show to go and super interesting. So we'll be right back. I'm joined by the founders of Big Spoon, Sanjeev Ukokar and Jem Yildirim of Big Spoon. You're listening to Keith Koo at Silicon Valley Insider. If you have any questions or comments, email us at info@svin.biz. We'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. Today, I'm joined by the co-founders of a really unique concept in restaurant apps, Big Spoon, CEO Sanjeev Okulkar, and COO Jim Yildirim. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Good
to be here. Yeah.
So this week's question is a follow-up to some of the big news the last couple of weeks. We had held a Tulip conference in San Francisco, which was Next Generation Blockchains. And the timing was great for the actual vote of the EOS mainnet, which is a Generation 3 blockchain. There's governance built into it. So the question comes up again and again. What is EOS? Isn't it exactly like Bitcoin or Ethereum? Actually, it's not. As I've said on previous shows, Bitcoin was a Generation 1 blockchain. Ethereum was a Generation 2, which had smart contracts. EOS, which is a lot more complexity but a lot more utility, is different in many ways. They generate EOS tokens, and instead of a Bitcoin miner or an Ethereum miner, it's really more of an electrical college system like the United States, where there's a group of designated block producers, and there's actually 21 now in the world because that was just decided about a week and a half ago. They have control over the creation of the blocks, but they actually have a lot more control in the governance and management. They can't just simply generate blocks or tokens for themselves. They actually have to govern it very carefully, decide on how to distribute those tokens, and actually even in some cases, as more and more tokens are being generated, they have to know how to judiciously invest those tokens into the community in order to grow the network. So there's a lot more involved than just a simple generation or mining. And then beyond that, EOS is said, it's yet to be seen, it solves for the scalability and flexibility issues that might be in a platform like Ethereum. Ethereum can only handle 7 to 20 transactions per second. But in this case, EOS promises that they can do up to 100,000 transactions. And again, that's then rivaling things like a Visa or a MasterCard. But we really need to see it in action to know if that truth will ever happen, okay? So that's the question of the week. So once again, we're joined by the founders of Big Spoon, Sanjeev and Jim. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we had a really good introduction in the first segment about what Big Spoon is, how it differs from other apps like DoorDash. And what we really liked was that concept that beyond the ability for a restaurant owner to offer a special or a food, and for folks like students who are on a budget and want to find deals, you can actually get a lot of community engagement through this application. So why don't we talk more about that?
Sure. So community engagement is very important because the cause is to reduce the food waste and help the planet Earth. So the community, when they hear this, they know that they have some important role to play. We all know that in the United States, only $165 billion food is wasted every year. And this is from harvesting from the ground all the way to the transportation, grocery stores, home, restaurants. But we also know that the biggest chunk, 40% plus, happens in the restaurants, the food waste. When community knows this, they want to do something about it. And it is good for the economy. It's good for the restaurants. It is good for the consumers like students. They want to not only help the planet Earth and reduce the food waste, but they will allow them to access to the cheaper food. And if they are willing to look for the deals and sign up to these kind of services, and then not only they get the good food cheaper, but they help the planet Earth. That's why I think, like you said, the community engagement is very important.
Right. And then in terms of, do you have it in test right now?
It's actually already live.
Okay.
We went live back in January in San Jose, Santa Clara area. Initially, we are targeting two universities in the Bay Area, San Jose State University and Santa Clara University. So we have already a large group of students who have jumped on board, have downloaded our app, and we also have recruited about 20 restaurants on our map from that area. So currently, our goal is to really perfect our model using these two universities, the students around there, And once it is perfected, then we're going to go big and replicate it, you know, in the entire nation and globally eventually.
So what are just a couple of the observations you've seen so far with the product in action?
So let me start from the customers or the consumer side. So naturally, we do B2B and B2C at the same time. Restaurants are partners on the B2B side, and consumers and students, they're on the B2C side, and they're the food buyers. So from the food buyers' perspective, there are two big important reactions. One, they love the fact that we are helping to reduce the food waste. And second, you know, the people that are on low budget, like students, and willing to participate in this, access to, you know, cheaper food. Those are the two important things that they jump on first. From the restaurant's perspective, they also like to get their name attached to, you know, being green, helping to the planet, and at the same time, you know, create more profit. Because normally, even though they feel bad, they have to throw away a certain food at the end of the day by regulation, not because it was bad. It's still fresh, good food. If you walk into a restaurant, you would eat it there. But they didn't know what to do about it because it's an unpredictable situation. They don't know when that is going to happen. So the restaurant's reaction is, it's good for planet, it's good for my name, and it's good for the community connection also, and it's more profitable. So it's a win-win for restaurants, consumers the same way. So we call it that win-win-win situation that Big Spoon brings. Restaurants wins, consumers, customers wins, and planet Earth wins.
That sounds great. And then is there analytics associated with it that the restaurant owners can make decisions on?
Yes, absolutely. We have built an analytics module, and where it really comes in handy is, say, if I'm a restaurant owner, I'm going to close at 9 o'clock. I realize that at 8:30 that, you know, I'm going to have 10 of this particular dish that I could make if customers walked in, but looks like they're not going to. But what's the right price? That's a good question, right? That's based on several factors, like how many people, potential customers, are around here near my vicinity right now. How many other similar offers might be there right now? So that's a supply and demand equation. And what's the historical pattern about selling? So what our analytics brings together is all of these factors together, the historical patterns, the time of the day of the week of the month, how the demand has been, what is the current supply in terms of the number of offers, and what is the current demand in terms of the potential customers that are around there at this point in time. And since our app is a real-time aware app, we have all of this data, and we can help them to price it correctly in order to not leave any money on the table, but at the same time, try and sell all 10 of these that I want to sell today.
Yeah, another thing I want to add to the analytics part on the demand side. Demand side, we don't only look at the number of people and their location, geolocation, but also by profile, we know their cuisine types, you know, the price range they are interested, you know, where they are, and what their schedule looks like. So we have that information which feeds into the analytics, you know, to make this decision easier.
Yeah, I think that's super valuable. I mean, coming from a financial planning analysis background as well, if I were not from a restaurant, but if I were to apply those techniques to a restaurant, I think that the ability to plan on a supply chain basis and know, you know, what day of the week somebody wants to have a certain type of food and how many of those have. I mean, these are the kinds of things that McDonald's does at scale, but now you're offering to an individual, which I think is really important. Let's save some stuff for the next segment. I wanted to make a quick announcement. I have been speaking at many events, and I've just been announced to be a keynote speaker at Upward Hartford, their cybersecurity delegation roadshow, which will be on July 23rd in Hartford, Connecticut. I'll probably do a post show on that so people can hear what happened, but I know that 5,000 chief information security officers have been invited to attend that event. Also, want to make sure that if you had questions about EOS and how to adopt the technology, you can email us at info@svn.biz. And we'll be right back with Sanjeev and Jim of Big Spoon.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
Hey, insiders. Welcome back to the show. Keith Koo with the founders of Big Spoon, a next-generation restaurant application. Sanjeev Ukulkar, CEO, and Jim Yildirim, COO. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
You.
So for the cyber tip of the week, it's really not a tip, but more of an awareness. I think we had talked before about how some American researchers and Chinese researchers have found that they can actually manipulate ultrasonic frequencies, frequencies that humans can't hear, to do certain things with your certain types of mobile devices like Alexa and Siri. But now we know that for sure through research that Alexa, Siri, and other types of devices can absolutely not just hear what you're saying or do things, but there can be taken over and commands can be inserted into them. So this is really more of an awareness type of dialogue where, you know, lots of people are adopting Alexa, Siri, Apple's version, or sorry, Google's version. And just to be very careful of what settings you have, because sometimes it's a configuration where you actually did have control and you could have made those settings active in not letting certain commands and frequencies come through. And sometimes it's just very passive. So anytime you're looking at getting that free offer where I'm going to deliver an Alexa device to your home, just be sure about where you want it placed, who you want it around, if you have kids, if you're talking about your financials, because you just never know who's listening to you. So Sanjeev and Jem, thanks again for being here. We've talked a lot about how you guys got started, what's behind the product. Why don't we walk through exactly how people get engaged with you?
Sure. So we expect engagement from both restaurants and the consumers. So we are serving and we are trying to connect those two. For the restaurants, they can go to our website, www.bigspoon.com, and there's a sign up for the managers. They're interested, and they just simply put their simple information, and we reach out to them. We can do a demo. We can explain their benefits to their financials and also the how they participate in the community and also the help the planet Earth for the food reduction. On the consumer side, we are always on the social media, all channels that you can think of. They can Google us. They also come to our website to find out more, and they can go to either Google Play or Apple Store to download our apps and just to use the service. But also we are looking for advocates from each university. We have internship opportunities in the marketing, sales, and engineering. And they can also sign up to our referral system, which they will get financial benefits, not only helping the environment and cows, but for referring friends or for referring restaurants, they can collect, Big Spoon credits to be used for the food buying.
Well, that's really interesting. I think we talk a lot about how, and I'll use blockchain as an example because incentivization is built into the whole economy of blockchain. But it sounds like even without blockchain, you're doing that. You're incentivizing people to come onto your platform.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, absolutely. We are also in the process of launching a new loyalty program that, is somewhat like frequent flyer program on airlines, which will offer even more incentives to all of the participants. The more food they rescue from going into the landfills, the more rewarded they will be from our system. So it's kind of, we want to create it a self-feeding system, which kind of, grows itself and grows viral. And just to add to what Jem said earlier, from the restaurant side, we have built our registration system in a very easy and simple way. So the restaurant's owners can go and do an entire onboarding process on their own. It's a very simple and easy process. So getting engaged from the restaurant perspective is very easy. There is nothing to lose from the restaurant perspective. They get the free advertising channel, and it's really no lose situation from the restaurant perspective.
Sure. And in the incentivization loyalty program, is it only for the consumers and the food buyers, or does the restaurants participate too?
Right now, the loyalty program is primarily for the consumers.
Okay. But sometimes your food buyers are your consumers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so they get a double bonus.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure, because we've been talking about your name, it's Big Spoon with a Z.
With the Z, yes. Yeah. BigZPoon.
Right.
And Big Spoon with Z.
And your domain, your website is the same?
www.bigspoon.com with Z, yes.
Okay, great. And just again, I know you said it, but they're in all the social media channels.
Yes. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it. We are all on it. Tumblr, Twitter.
And on the app side, our apps are available in the Apple ecosystem, the iOS application. Android app is available as well. And of course, there is a web app as well. So people can use any method that they like. And there is a separate application for the restaurant owners and for the food buyers. It's a separate application.
Okay. And for the food buyers and restaurant owners, is it also Apple and Android, or is it a different platform?
Same. For all of them, the web application, Android application, and iOS application.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about how to get started, how to get engaged. What are some of the tangible results for the restaurant owners right now? What have you seen?
So what we have seen is, you know, what Jim already described, and we just have had the validation of that. Increase in their profitability or increase in revenue,
yep.
About 10 to 15% is the range. The second thing is, you know, feeling good about doing something for the earth. You know, that definitely everybody, appreciates that aspect. And increase in the traffic coming into their restaurant. As Jim mentioned earlier, unlike some other food ordering apps, we don't want to wedge ourselves between the consumers, food buyers, and the restaurants. Our model is a pickup model, so we want to bring the customers into the restaurant. We want them to look at the ambiance. We want them to smell the food. We want them to interact with the restaurant staff, and therefore they are likely to come back again. So they have seen that increased level of interaction. So those are some of the benefits that the restaurant owners are already enjoying, the ones that have jumped on board with us.
Yeah, there's one more aspect that we hear from our restaurant owners. So they are aware that next 5-10 years, millennials are going to have more, you know, buying power. They're going to control a bigger portion of the economy. And these are the people that they're open to new ways of, you know, app-based, you know, the technology-based solutions. They are very, they care about the green earth. They care about, you know, community, and they are always on the mobile apps. So trying to serve this population next to 5-10 years is critical for every restaurant's future. So if they don't want to fall behind, if they want to be, you know, on top of the new technological advancements, and they want to also start to serve millennials closer, they love this concept.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I think one thing that we should probably bring out into the open, just because I know that question comes up again and again, is this concept of surplus food. Isn't that just food that will, you know, expire in the next day or two?
Yes, we hear this as a joke, or maybe sometimes a serious concern too from consumers especially. But the reality is the food that towards the end of the day is the same food that you would walk in and eat if it was not the end of the day. But in this case, we don't call it the leftover food. We call it the surplus or unsold, because by regulation, they cannot heat it up and sell the next day. They have to throw it away. It's going to go to the landfill and cause more greenhouse emissions. But unlike our home, if we cook today and I bring the leftover food to work tomorrow, so there's no regulation to, you know, control that. But in restaurants, there are regulations. So again, we don't want to call it leftover food. It's a surplus food and unsold food and fresh, good food. You would enjoy it. You would eat it if you were sitting in the restaurant at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's important, right? I have friends who are health inspectors in the Silicon Valley and the Bay Area. And I think it's important to note it's not in like an accounting concept. It's not first in, first out, right? It is first in, first out. It's not last in, first out. And so people need to be really cognizant that anytime you go to a restaurant, the restaurant's going to be serving you the food that is closest to expiration. That's just a fact. So thanks for the explanation.
Thank you.
So one thing that I wanted to bring out is, you know, Silicon Valley insiders listen to in 59 countries. And so they're going to be listening to this show. They're going to want to know, is this a platform that's available outside the United States?
Absolutely. What we have built actually has a global appeal. So first of all, the food waste problem is a global problem. The numbers are huge. You know, it's a $3 trillion worth of food being wasted globally every year. It can actually feed half of the planet's population. So it's a real problem. Now, of course, not all of it is coming from the restaurants, but major part, about 40 to 45% is coming out of restaurant. So this is definitely a global problem. So it has a global appeal. Secondly, the behaviors of the people involved, whether you're a restaurant owner or a food buyer, are the same worldwide. So the platform that we have built has worldwide applicability. So our goal is absolutely to expand globally after we have done expanding into the United States.
Yeah, that's exciting. What do you think the timing is on that?
Our wishful thinking and really aspirational goal is we want to be a global company in the next 3 to 5 years.
That's great. I mean, you and I, we all came from Cisco. We used to talk about stretch goals all the time.
Yep.
So that's a good goal to have. So one thing I was thinking about, you know, this would be really good for communities. I mean, you know, food truck communities, ethnic restaurant areas, Chinatown. Have you started penetrating those groups?
Not yet. And as I explained earlier, right now we are in the process of just perfecting our model using two universities as our initial targets. But absolutely, once we are done with that, there are so many areas that we can branch out, and we can probably talk about it in the next segment. But you know, we have big plans in expanding not only into the kind of things that you mentioned, but in a completely different businesses, not necessarily related to food.
Yeah. Well, Sanjeev, you did a much better job transitioning to our next segment than I did. So you are listening to Silicon Valley Insider. I have the co-founders of Big Spoon, a restaurant app that has big aspirations of solving many different challenges in the restaurant industry, especially with restaurants being squeezed with cost and being able to manage the supply chain. So it's pretty exciting. So stay tuned. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@svin.biz. And again, I wanted to make a couple other announcements. So one, I'm going to be keynoting a cybersecurity conference in Connecticut next month, July 23rd. I don't expect all of you to fly out for that, but you can certainly ask me questions ahead of time. And also, if you had questions about EOS, this latest third-generation blockchain, and you want to know how to get integrated with EOS, how to convert your Ethereum apps onto EOS, feel free to email me also at info@svn.biz. And we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. I've been joined today by Sanjeev Ukulkar, CEO, and Jem Yildirim, COO of Big Spoon. Before we finish up with their show, I wanted to bring up a really great opportunity, which is IBM's Call for Code. IBM just announced a call for code with their partners to collectively help solve for natural disasters and things that people are devastated by, whether it's fires or floods or even the volcano in Hawaii. So it was launched on June 18th and it's open till August 31st. It's open to groups up to 5 or individuals. The winner will be announced October 2018 with a live stream concert by David Clark Cause. So if you need information on IBM's Call to Code, where they're investing over $30 million, email us at info@svn.biz. All right, so Sanjeev and Jem, it's been a fascinating show. I really like the whole concept of using Big Spoon to not only solve for food waste, but also to get engagement, help restaurants really understand their customers, get the data analytics, and then also kind of a side job or a job opportunity for those who are referrers or food buyers. So thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Good to be here.
So Sanjeev, you got really excited. You're talking about what's next. So what is next for Big Spoon?
So before we get into the what's next, I think there is one very important aspect about our entire platform and our application ecosystem that we forgot to mention. So our application, unlike some very similar applications that are there out there in some other countries, the biggest difference is, first of all, this is a complete full-service online food ordering app. So any feature that you would see on, you know, likes of Grubhub or DoorDash are on our platform. So there is a regular menu that is standard menu that is published on our system. So people don't have to necessarily wait for offers to come. You can always go and order the food. What we have built on top of it is that, you know, differentiating set of features that we talked about. And by the way, these are patent pending features. We already have filed a patent on that. So I wanted to mention that before we get into that. So talking about the future, I would basically describe our future plans in three phases. Our first phase, then short-term future, is really making sure that our entire app ecosystem is stable, our business processes, everything, all the kinks are ironed out, and we are ready to replicate the model like crazy. That's our short term. In the midterm, what we want to do is we want to also kind of get into this, the model of the Marshalls, the off-price retailer kind of a model, because we have found that some of the restaurants who are name-conscious restaurants, they hesitate to get onto the platform like this. And what we want to do is build a virtual storefront where, you know, there's going to be an element of surprise, just like at Marshalls. You know, any week you walk into the Marshalls, there might be different things that are available that are not there next week. And these are all very high name brand products that are sold at the cheaper prices. So we want to build that under our brand name. We want to build that virtual storefront where there's going to be, you know, fresh, again, important to remember, fresh food deals at much cheaper prices than the regular prices. So that's the midterm. So we want to kind of expand our net to all types of restaurants, including single restaurants, restaurant chains, the even the higher end restaurant through our virtual storefront. And then the more long term aspect of it is really then expanding our platform to be a very generic surplus management platform. If you really think about it, the concept that we have created really applies to a surplus of anything. You know, think about another adjacencies like grocery stores. They have a similar problem like restaurants. Think about bakeries, flower shops. Anything that has a limited shelf life can potentially use our platform and our solution with the very small modifications. And in fact, I would even venture to say that it applies to a surplus of anything, not necessarily something that has a limited shelf life. So what we want to do is eventually, in addition to expanding our footprint globally, we want to get into these other businesses and we want to help everybody that has a surplus of anything to find the customers and channel their goods or services on demand in a very short period of time. So that's really our grand vision where we want to get to.
That's a really big vision. That sounds great. Are you? And I think you might have just said it, but are you focusing on perishables only or it can be anything?
In the short term and the midterm, we are primarily focusing on perishables because it's a real problem. And, you know, you can only do one thing at a time. But in the long term, it can be used for the non-perishable as well.
And then with just a couple minutes we have left, I wanted to go back to your midterm aspiration. It sounds great, like the Marshalls model, if a big name wants to get involved. But how do they actually address their naming associated with the deal?
Unlike Marshall, in this case, there is no naming involved.
Okay.
There's just food, fresh food, different type of food that would be available every day. They know that it's coming from some good name brand restaurant,
but
they don't know which one.
Okay. I got it. Okay. Well, Sanjeev Okulkar, CEO, and Jem Yildirim, COO of Big Spoon, it sounds like you've got really big plans.
We do.
Thanks again for being here on the show.
Thank you, Keith. We really, really appreciate this opportunity. It was great being here. It was great talking to you. And look forward to continued partnership with you.
Also, we would like to invite your listeners to join our fight against food waste. It's a good cause. Let's reduce the food waste. Let's reduce the, you know, greenhouse gas emissions. And, you know, it's good for everyone, not only restaurants and consumers, but the entire community.
Let's make our planet a greener planet, one meal at a time.
Sounds great. So that's Big Spoon with a Z, BigZPoon. And they're available on all the social media channels. So once again, you've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. Anything you've heard about today, Big Spoon, how to use EOS is a blockchain. Contact us at info@svin.biz, and we'll be back next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.